step inside the tribe as our market experts share their boots on the ground experience from the front lines of freight tech's emergence. I'm Tim Dooner, and this is Freight Waves Insiders.
Welcome back to the show where we go inside the career journeys and brand stories of the people who make freight happen. Today joining me, Jim Nicholson. He's from LoadSmart. Thank you for joining me today, Jim.
Dooner, thanks so much for having me. Really looking forward to discussion. We haven't had a chance to connect yet, so this is the first, but really looking forward to it. So thanks for having me on.
Yeah, Jim, I think I hear the city outside. I know you guys used to be in New York, but you were telling me right before we hit record, you moved to Chicago. Tell me a little bit about that move.
Absolutely, yeah. So we so LoadSmart started in 2014. We've been headquartered in New York City, right on Broadway in New York City. And this year we made the decision to relocate our headquarters to Chicago, which really allows us a couple things. Take advantage of you know, a talent pool that's really ripe in the logistics space, but also technology, right? This is Chicago is an emerging, growing technology center. So it's really the best of both worlds. And you can hear the unfortunately, you can hear the ambulances and all the sirens. So we battle through that. But we're really enjoying it. We're growing into a space. We're growing beyond our space. So there's a lot of excitement here with the move to Chicago for us.
Yeah, I didn't know if Limp Bizkit was still playing or not at Lollapalooza. You were telling me that outside your window there, you can see the whole event, you know, hundreds of thousands of people just hanging out, enjoying that Chicago scene. It's interesting. Chicago comes up a lot on this show and freight talk in general. And I remember at our last live event, not the one coming up in November, the last one we did, which was Freightways Live in Chicago. Amazing event, but we had the debate there, Chattanooga versus Chicago. One trend I've been noticing is that a lot of these freight tech companies, these coastal freight tech companies, they're starting to just gravitate right towards that sort of center, that hub of the freight universe, which many would consider to be Chicago. You're not originally from Chicago, though, right?
I am.
Actually. Oh, you are?
I am.
Homecoming.
Yes. So I'm one of the originals. So in our headquarters is here, but we are global. So we have, you know, engineering across really across South America. We have, you know, operational presence in Asia and Central America, and then throughout the U.S. So this is really our hub and where we have really centralized our operational and a lot of our sales functions. But we do expand. And luckily, you know, through the remote transitions of 2020 allowed us to be able to move nimbly into that. But yeah, I'm a Chicago suburbs born and raised guy.
So what does a director of operations do at LoadSmart, especially over this past year and a half now of a perpetual peak season? Big move, big challenge. You had a Series C 6 months or so ago. So what's on your desk right now? What's eating you alive?
It's a lot, I'll tell you that much. Yeah, so my role as Vice President of Operations here at LoadSmart, really it covers everything from carrier strategy, procurement, our automation efforts. We launched in 2020 our new modes, our multimodal efforts, and so I lead that among other right just execution level responsibilities, but it is I do wear a lot of hats here at LoadSmart, and that's one of the beautiful things is the opportunity to impact and really be part of something that's changing the industry.
So in your words, what is that something? You're one of the originals, Vice President of Operations over there. What is LoadSmart in 2021?
Yeah, so LoadSmart is a logistics technology company, and really our mission is to enable both shippers and carriers to better operate their business and optimize through technology, right? And we, you know, we like to say that we lead with technology and complements with strategic partnerships. So really, we're very fortunate to build, you know, relationships with every from enterprise shippers to large enterprise carriers and vendors and warehousing, but we've certainly evolved, and you know, I think we'll get in this discussion into some of the trajectory and some of the past of LoadSmart. But we've been celebrating some tremendous growth, and you know, released 232% Q2 year-over-year growth. So really, really fast-paced growth. And our Series C really enables us to do some other things with that capital and continue this accelerated growth. But we feel really excited about where we've come. But obviously, the road ahead, and specifically in this time within the logistics industry, which truly is a generational opportunity for all of us that have been in this for 20 plus years or have just gotten into the logistics space, logistics tech space in the last couple of years. It's a fascinating time. So we're very, very fortunate, but very optimistic of our positioning and moving this thing forward.
So tell me, like, on this show, in order to gain sort of understanding of our guest perspective, we like to take a look through their windshield. You are a Fighting Illini alum. So let me ask you, freight, not a career path everybody wants to go into unless they're, multi-generational. You're 16 years old. You're scouting colleges. You decide on becoming an Illini. Did you think you'd end up in this world of freight?
I'm hard-pressed with that question for anyone that is aggressively saying yes. I mean, I think a lot of us say we kind of landed in logistics, not necessarily our first intention. But you mentioned Illinois, so I was a family, a legacy with my family of going to the University of Illinois. Again, born and raised Chicago area. I was an economics major, so interested in economics. Kind of a vague, I think there's different things you can do with that, but really focused on finance, consulting, and I think for me, what as I look back at the early part of my career, and I've got a ways ahead of me, timing is super important, right? And I graduated in 2008, which truly was a defining moment in the generation. But you think about those of us that went into this workforce in this great recession, and it's just different, right? So looking forward, looking back, I think for everyone, you can look back at your career, and there's two, three, four, maybe certain kind of inflection points or defining moments. Honestly, I think my entrance into logistics was defined by, honestly, when I graduated college, right? And, certain avenues didn't really pan out. And I just aggressively said, logistics is something that, they're not in colleges, they're not recruiting. Let me go somewhere where, not everyone's really targeting. Luckily I fell in love with it. I think it's something that, looking back, I could not see myself doing anything differently. The excitement, the relationships, just the pure, genuine, connections with the coworkers, the trucking companies, dispatchers, customers. It's truly unique, right? But, I do believe that moment was important for me. And, I've been fortunate in my career so far, but really it wouldn't have happened, right? Unless, ended up coming out of college in a really difficult time that was thrown at me.
Yeah, could you have picked a worse time to graduate? You picked the millennial great recession of our time, the subprime loans exploding. But you did land on your feet, right? Right out of school, you end up over at Schneider, and that kind of set you on this path to where you are now. You mentioned that, a lot of the companies, they weren't doing a great job of recruiting the school. So that begs the question, how did you end up hooking up with Schneider?
Yeah, so after I, made the decision to target logistics, honestly, Schneider was one of the ones in Chicago that was hiring, right? And this was at a very early point, I think in the the life cycle of really when logistics and brokerage started taking off is late late 2000s and early 2010s, I spoke to some different companies, but Schneider's a world-class organization. Left an impression on me from the moment I walked into our office, which was the logistics center here based in Chicago, which was our largest at that time. And but it's it was something that I felt the right connection at Schneider, and the asset side of things is interesting. I think it's super important to have that backing and not just a pure, the pure brokerage, but really understanding what is it that you are selling, what's the service you're providing. you don't get that unless you're riding in a truck with a trucker, right? I mean, you don't truly understand it. It's you know, we can be on our computers transacting in a brokerage business until you have ride-alongs with drivers, actually go on site with the operating centers, understand what does safety really mean. You don't get that perspective. So Schneider definitely offered that. And I think that was really important for me.
Yeah, 8 or 9 years with them. Then what made you decide to take the leap and jump over to take a little bit of a risk? I think you're doing a great job, but legacy company versus startup freight tech company. Big jump.
Yes, it's a huge jump, right? And, you know, I was fortunate at Schneider to have, you know, experiences on both the operational side, on the sales side of the organization. Like I said earlier, this is a really interesting time in this logistics space and in logistics tech. And looking back, I think this time period between 2015 and 2025 is really going to define what the future trajectory of everything's going to be. This is super exciting. It's awesome. It's really cool to be a part of it now. But I saw these emerging, right? And digitization was a real thing. And others are doing, you know, very well in working to transform their business. LoadSmart definitely is one that was at the very forefront in terms of creating our instant pricing, integrations when it wasn't a thing. So obviously lots of due diligence, but I wanted to be a part of something that was really transformational. And I felt like this was the place to be, right? And it's important for me to throughout the career is really to be a part of that and really being part of transforming, you know, where this is all going, right? So big jump for sure. The, you know, $4 or $5 billion 90-year-old organization to a 5-year-old tech startup or 3 or 4 year old at that point. Absolutely the right move. Incredibly challenging, but rewarding in terms of looking at what we've done. And we've got so much work, but just positioning ourselves, we're really excited about what's ahead.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. So you join LoadSmart, you're joining this hype new world of digital freight, but you also have your eyes on how a legacy, right? The importance of assets, the importance of the actual driver. You know, digital is great, but everything can't be digital. We're talking about moving physical goods that are done by physical people with physical people on all ends of the supply chain. So you bring that perspective into LoadSmart. Let's talk a little bit about that trajectory from your point of view and joining the company. What kind of growth have you seen so far? And how does this change? How is this different than your traditional 3PL?
Yeah, it's a great question. Going back again, LoadSmart started in 2014, 2015. We focused on prior to my involvement, but 2015 focused on the pricing, the algorithm side of things to really do things digitally. You need that automation. 2016 was investing in the TMS integrations. And really what LoadSmart found was we were ahead of where shippers were ready. And also TMSs, right? TMSs were a bigger blocker in terms of, you know, you're having some, you know, on-prem. It wasn't necessarily cloud-based. And even if it was, could they truly support an integration, a quote-and-book integration? But really, it took, you know, 1 to 2 shippers that really committed to it in 2018. And it was tons of knocking on doors. And there was always really a lot of excitement up until then. But 2018 was really an inflection point that we saw the dominoes falling and more adoption, which we are fortunate because we built the pipelines to really be able to do that, right? And connect into a shipper's native system to make sure to allow them to make those decisions where they operate, right? And automate the decision-making process of selecting carriers. But 2018 to really now, 2021, has been this rapid acceleration of shippers to digitalize, right? And we've been fortunate to be a part of it at the early stages. And now the other interesting element is, okay, the shipper side, right, and adopting and accepting digitization. Now the carrier side is super interesting too, right? You have, you know, call it 300,000 trucking fleets, incredibly fragmented, 85%+ have less than 6 trucks. And so that's both the excitement, but also the challenge of how do you really bring this together? Carriers have been a bit slower than the shippers have been, which is common, right? That's kind of a trend. But we've started definitely seeing more adoption from the carrier side, which is super interesting for us with the emergence of more progressive cloud-based systems from FMSs and TMSs. That for us, right, we're not building something that you need to have, you absolutely have to have the app to engage with, or you have to come to our platform, right? We want to build agnostic where we have a great platform, we have a great app that allows people, allows the carriers to operate their businesses effectively. Same as on the shipper side, but we want to go into where they're at. I don't want to force you to do something and where you have to download another app. Let's connect into where you prefer to operate and give you the tools to operate your business. Also, so you don't have to go out into these different places to manage your fleet, to manage your payments, to finding freight at a load board, right? So this is the evolution of this industry. So that's where, again, we're excited about that in terms of, you know, the difference between traditional freight brokerage and, you know, more of a digital platform. There's a variety, right? But what for me, it's definitely eye-opening coming into this world in that we don't have seas of inside sales folks that are hammering the phones, right? It's in our ways of optimizing for shippers is more, you know, some of the internal tools that we have in terms of how do we actually effectively work the integrations? Because you go into a TMS, there's a lot more to it if you think about it, right? I mean, what are you quoting? What are the rules that you're deciding of how to quote? Obviously, you need to calibrate your pricing mechanisms and pricing algorithms. So there's a lot to it. But, you know, we feel like we've got the integrations. We've built a platform, a layer to now easily be able to plug and play. And it's shown, right, from the shipper engagement and adoption, not just in the industry. We absolutely have, you know, and started with more of the enterprise first. And now it's really blossomed, you know, with even our core customers into, you know, we're sitting with them for an hour or for a day at a time and really just looking at, let's bring up a whiteboard. Let's go through some general, you know, maybe five or six different projects and products that we're really curious that we could possibly build together. And then that goes, you know, that blossoms into something else, right? We're, you know, a great partner of ours, Home Depot, now is we're working closely to build a flatbed marketplace, right? Something that doesn't exist in a marketplace that's supply-led, not led with freight, where you have to, you know, send the freight and then you just have to find the trucks. It's very different. So it's clearly shown in the engagement that we've had with our customers. And then, you know, obviously for us is really scaling into the SMB space.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because I ask 3PLs and carriers all the time how they go about picking up tech. How do you figure out what aligns with you? And the most common answer I get is pretty simple. It's a shipper, a partner of theirs, needed X solution at X time. It was a big account. They had to bring it in. And it's not that dissimilar to some of the ways LoadSmart asks. You have a big company like Home Depot. They say, hey, can you get this done for us? You got to come to the table. Do you see that? Do you see more consolidation or do you see that shippers continuing to drive this boat of adoption that 3PLs and carriers are doing?
We see that shippers, definitely a common trend with more enterprise shippers, is taking more of their procurement in-house, and that's to give them more control. We've seen transitions within TMSs, but we definitely see adoption, much more interest in continuing to explore, connect digitally, right, to automate their processes, right? I mean, this is a business, you know, I know you've been on the freight side of the world, but it was truly run on, you know, post-it notes and spreadsheets and honestly whiteboards. And that was up until enterprise shippers up until, you know, a handful of years ago. It's wild. Even if you go back 5 years ago, how things were done, right? Where emails were sent out for spot load. It's that no one wants that, right? And it's, you know, it's for us, we see it as two things, which is value creation for our customer, right? They don't want that. We don't want that. We want to automate this. But number two, that I think is sometimes undershadowed is the value of the human, the person in that relationship, right? It's not to say that technology is now automatically just replacing any sort of relationships. Totally not. Really, it's about enabling our guys, our team, to actually do more, right?
So I got to give you an amen right there, because that's one of the reasons that, like, one of the biggest frustrations I had when I was working in 3PLs, and especially when I was doing freight sales, was, like, I had to rely on a team of freight pricing people, right? And they had, like, a SLA of within 24 hours, I need the quote. If I don't get this quote back in, like, 10 minutes, I've already lost the freight and the load. And what would drive me nuts when we'd have these conversations about tech is you'd always get that deflection of, oh, it's a business about relationships. That doesn't matter. Well, how about worrying about the relationships inside, outside the office of your people who have to deal with these day-to-day frustrations, these mundane tasks that could be automated, could help us win business, could help us move faster. We're not talking about, you know, it's not an end-all be-all. It's not binary. It's not like you go digital. Suddenly you're never talking to another human being, right? I mean, there's both sides here. We got to be a little bit more intelligent about it.
Yeah. And you know, think about the pricing process itself, right? I mean, it's common where you have a login to a rate provider. Maybe a company has their own algorithm, but they share it with their sales floor. Sales floor looks at it. Maybe you walk over to the ops team and say, hey, what do you think about this and this and that? It takes a lot of time. And you really, you have a lot more control in using data more effectively when you can behind the scenes actually use data to calibrate your pricing centrally versus, you know, disparately through, you know, a workforce and a sales force. So we want our team more engaged in building relationships, building, you know, both the carrier network within the company, the shipper network, expanding. But you got to create value, but you got to do it for both, right? For the shipper and us. They want things quick. And we want to automate, you know, these processes to allow you to do different things. So you're not having to do the mundane tasks, right? That's you know, how we think about it. When the other thing you hear in this industry is automation. Automation, absolutely. Everyone's after automation. It's used very loosely generally. And, you know, for us, we think of the different functions within the life cycle from quote to settlement, right? Quote to cash. And how can you actually break down each of these to automate within each of these functions, right? And again, that can make things better for everyone, both us and the shipper, but elevate the role of the people, right? And hire some really talented people that don't have to do these mundane tasks. Shippers like that. They, you know, they get better service and they have better products and different add-ons that we can offer them. And we're sitting in a room collaborating on the future of what this could be versus dwelling on the frustrations that this industry has had in the past, right? So we absolutely, going back to your initial question, tons of interest, tons of adoption of more of these digital offerings that we can bring them.
Well, the awards committee seems to like what you've been doing. Tell us a little bit about some of these awards and recognition that LoadSmart has received for this sort of sea change that you're doing in freight.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, going back to 2020 for all of us, it was once in a lifetime event, hopefully, right? But definitely defined a lot of us and incredibly challenging, right? Navigating through that. I always give, we're big fans and close partners with FreightWaves, and FreightWaves was a key in helping the logistics communicate and navigate through that with the data. So always a plug for the value of the data and sonar data in 2020 for logistics community. But, you know, thinking about, you know, back to summer of 2020, we received awards from Kraft Heinz. And for us, it's cool, right? It's validation of what we're doing is working for the shipper. But it's also like, I mean, it's how are we actually providing goods and getting goods to market when they needed to? This was back in, you know, bring ourselves back to June 2020. That you have, you know, awards from Kraft Heinz, the Highway Heroes Award, which is going the extra mile to feed America in 2020, which now is all, it almost feels different because we're just in a different space within the pandemic. But back then, it meant something that we're partnering to do something good for everyone. Home Depot, Digital Broker of the Year of 2020, right? So these are validations, and we're excited because it shows that, yeah, there's appreciation and what we're doing absolutely is working. The other side of this is how do we increase the engagement, right? So we talked about, you know, shippers partnering with us to actually do things differently. We recently shared the stage with Starbucks and talking about how LoadSmart helps support their transition in-house procurement. And just the automation, right? And removing the manual processes within that. So And then going into Home Depot, right? That's super exciting for us is touching, moving into this open deck space, which is incredibly underserved from a technology perspective, but incredibly important, right? I mean, these are the raw materials, industrial goods that are driving, you know, everything forward and are also in incredible demand right now. So being able to partner with the likes of, you know, Home Depot, leading home improvement partner of ours is super cool for us.
Every shipper I talk to right now, not every shipper, but many shippers I talk to, they're furious. They're paying tons of money on ocean freight. They're waiting forever for it to arrive. When it gets here, they're waiting forever for trains and intermodal. They're waiting forever for inland freight. They're waiting forever for trucks. It's a really, really tough and challenging time. And I've been reading the earnings reports and I've been listening to some analysts, and in some ways, it seems like they're just throwing numbers out there. They're like, yeah, the market will downturn in Q1 2022. Me, I'm like, why? Chinese New Year's February 1st? We got another Olympics in 6 months already coming up. What do you see? How challenging is it to serve your clients in a year long perpetual peak season? And do you see any relief for them in sight?
Great question. Is there a relief in sight? Absolutely. Right. I think it's also about how do you support their business? It's not just trying to scramble and scrape and claw and compete with the next guy to try to find capacity and operate the business, right? It's how do you make it better for them? And what are ways that we can just do things differently, right? I mean, let's talk about contracted procurement strategies, right? I mean, now we're in year two of something that just purely, it just doesn't work, right? The annual contract procurement strategy is ineffective. And we saw this fall apart in 2020. We saw it again, you know, in March and early on in 2021. This needs solutions that work for customers. It's not market index pricing. It's not cost plus, right? That doesn't give any incentive for, you know, the provider to perform effectively. It just adds a margin on top of it. It doesn't work. Let's use the shipper's data and actually go off of that and give align incentives. But let's do something that works throughout different cycles. So this is a, you know, product that we put out that's seen really strong interest. I would say it does take what'll tip the needle to really more dynamic contract strategies is, you know, a group of enterprise shippers really to push forward and actually commit more so. Again, not in the Band-Aid, you know, cost plus, but actual effective strategies. We have one that we're excited about that builds, you know, resilience but flexibility within a shipper's supply chain. So to answer your question, it takes more creative thinking and actually different products than just the age old of trying to fight and claw for capacity. And then on the carrier side, obviously, how do we give ourselves an advantage in the capacity that we can bring into our network that we can bring and insert into a shipper's? And it's similar, right? As on the shipper side, on the carrier side, how do you create something and engage them differently? So it actually creates value for them, right? Versus just being a intermediary, right? There's no value. And quite honestly, there's the exact opposite, right? There's a distrust within, you know, carriers and brokers, and that's going to change, right? And it's those that will do things differently and think creatively and partner with both the carriers and the customers versus just trying to, again, hammer away at a load board and try to find a truck, right? That's not going to happen moving forward.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of carriers and shippers have been fighting this battle with sort of antiquated tools, ways we used to do things in the past, so reliant on rates and contracts and RFPs. Yet, I mean, if we also think to the past, let's not romanticize these things because nobody pays attention to contracts the second the market turns anyway. And I like what you're saying here about, look, there's physical limitations to infrastructure, to moving trucks, to moving ships, to all of these kind of things. But you have opportunities here within those challenges to start doing things better and to start reviewing your supply chain, looking at the areas that you can improve and you can optimize. And the greatest inroads to that is happening in tech because the physical side of it is so stressed anyway.
And how do you operate your business more effectively? It comes from data, right? So you have to be really good at both extracting data, but also analyzing and making sense of data. Shipper level data, data analytics, and data insights is a product that we released earlier this year. Again, similar, which is, you know, just another tool that can give them a dashboard, interactive dashboard, to understand what's going on, right? What's going on with the different vendors, facilities they work with, everything from spend to dwell times, all these things. That's stuff that matters, that they care about. So how do we focus on just bringing more value creation to shippers and not, again, just a race to the end, race to the bottom, which is just trying to find, you know, the next low-cost option for them, right? So we really truly believe that once we navigate through this, you know, this tight market, high demand, and I'm very optimistic that things don't revert back to what it was before, but shippers now are forced, now that it's we're 2 years in. Let's do things the right way, and we definitely have seen acceleration in wanting to partner with us, but doing it differently. That has legs. That's going to continue on.
So Series C, you've got some money to burn in your pocket. I know you moved from New York to Chicago, maybe with a little bit of that, but you got that $90 million Series C round. What's the plan for it? What's the plan for LoadSmart?
Give me a big raise, right? I mean, there's plenty of capital for that now. We're growing aggressively, right? So, I mean, there's certainly, we're doubling down on the engineering side of things. We've always promoted 40% of our company as data scientists and engineers. We're doubling down on that to create the products that, you know, for both our shippers and carriers and brokers. So definitely double down on technology, operations, right? Efficiencies we'll take. So we're going to scale our team. Acquisitions is interesting for us, right? Of how can we continue to bring different products and offerings for our shippers and carriers. So it gives us some ammunition to both double down on where we're going from a technology perspective and accelerate the path towards, you know, more digitization and further along digitization. Optimization is a key for us in terms of, you know, we think it's not readily available, accessible for shippers, specifically SMB. So again, we launched new modes last year, but really an optimization tool that we're building that really works for shippers to be able to understand all of these different opportunities for them to optimize their supply chains. So yeah, we're excited. We have, you know, we're fortunate to have BlackRock as our lead investor in the Series C, and it gives us some opportunity to scale and accelerate the growth.
Jim, we're looking back on this in 2026. It's 5 years from now. Has peak season ended? No. My real question is, where do you see yourself and LoadSmart in 5 years from now? I mean, this is, like you've mentioned a couple times, this is sort of an inflection point in tech. I think that this congestion and shippers just scrambling for tools is really helping to accelerate tech adoption. So I think we're on a good trajectory, but where do you see us in 5 years?
Yeah, and honestly, in 2 years, I mean, and we're seeing kind of an arms race right now, right, between who can run as fast as possible. This isn't a single winner, right? There's going to be multiple players here that are successful. We, in 2023, we're the leading logistics platform in the industry, right? So we have lofty goals, and it's hard to say who's there right now. But that, you know, we see ourselves as a leader in that perspective, and you know, at that point, you know, more involved beyond, you know, the logistics side of things, but really moving into some different verticals, and, you know, software is interesting for us as well. But yeah, our focus now is continue to scale aggressively, leading logistics platform, right? That's, you know, not digital broker, but a logistics platform that really unlocks value for all the different participants within the mix.
Do you think that platform thing, because I noticed you use the term, do you think being a platform is a lot more important than that designation of a digital broker company, sort of moving away from that, or is at least LoadSmart from that sort of descriptor?
It's just more indicative of what we're doing, right? I don't, it's not necessarily a general strategy, but it's more, you know, it's what we believe, and it's what we believe unlocks, you know, more opportunity and creates more value. So again, no firm, you know, pivot in terms of company strategy, but yeah, platform's interesting in terms of really how it all fits together, right, in a centralized strategy that now inserts different value add and add-ons that really care our customers and carriers care about.
Well, Jim, I'm looking forward to getting up to Chicago again in the near future, but even sooner than that, I hope to see you down here in Chattanooga, November 8th to 10th at F3, a festival like none other. It's the Festival of Freight. I know people have been just dying to tear down these virtual walls. I know I'd much rather be sitting next to you right now than than across these ones and zeros we got here. But it's going to be a great time. You out there, join us. It's going to be the biggest event in freight, live.freightwaves.com. Click on F3. Get yourself a ticket. It's going to be a great time. Jim, before I let you go, let's let the people know how they can connect with Load Smart and how they can connect with you.
Absolutely. So please visit, encourage you to visit loadsmart.com. But reach out to me directly through whichever social media channel is your preference. Jim Nicholson at loadsmart.com. Would love to engage and expand the network. So please reach out. And Dooner, thanks so much for the time. Looking forward to November. It's been a while since we've all gotten together. So we certainly are looking forward to it. We've got a crew headed down to Chattanooga. So can't be more excited for it.
Well, we'll see you all there. Jim, thank you for letting us inside your world today. Listeners, thank you for joining us on this journey. You can find the show wherever you get podcasts. Just look up FreightWaves Insiders, or if you want every FreightWaves podcast all on one convenient feed, just look up FreightCast. You'll find everything on there, including my other show, What the Truck. You can find me on Twitter at Timothy Dooner. That's D-O-O-N-E-R. Take care. God bless.